Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hi, and welcome to the special edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. This is Coach K, Ken Schultheis, with you here on a Saturday evening. I guess a Saturday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, or 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock Central Time. And I'm a little bit rattled here as I'm watching the Wichita State-Ohio State game at the 10:44 mark. Wichita State was up by 20. Yes, folks. Up by 20 against Ohio State, 56-36. But since then, Anthony Early went down, which was, it looks like, an Achilles tendon tear, possibly some kind of strain in the back part of his ankle, probably the Achilles. And since then, Ohio State, with 7 minutes and 47 seconds left in the game, has closed the gap 56-43. And they have the basketball, and they were just fouled by Wichita State. And the nice thing about where I'm at in my studio here at the Coach K and Joe Show is I've got the TV going, the big screen TV going, and I'm able to watch the Wichita State-Ohio State game. And, folks, it would be, you know, we lost out on Florida Gulf Coast, being that Cinderella team. Florida, of course, under Billy Donovan, took them out in a game yesterday, and Florida Gulf Coast started out tough. They were up like 17-5, and things just started to go south after that. Florida got their legs underneath them, shooting wise. They got some rhythm in their transition and ball movement, and they just really out-muscled, out-shot, out-rebound. I mean, they were strong. Florida was strong in the post after that. And Florida Gulf Coast went 5-6 minutes without scoring a field goal, maybe without scoring. Couldn't hit free throws. Started fumbling the ball. I mean, Florida got really, really aggressive defensively. You know, Billy Donovan was a former player and assistant for Rick Pitino. And before Shaka Smart at VCU had, do you like that? Shaka Smart at VCU had the Havoc defense. Rick Pitino was running and jumping and doubling and reaching and deflecting and knocking away and getting in on the dribble as you crossed it over and taking away the space of the ball handler. And that's what Florida did. Florida did a great job of that against Florida Gulf Coast. So our Cinderella team, Florida Gulf Coast, who really had the imagination of the sports world, of the college basketball world on them, they got beat. Florida took them out. Florida was the better team, and Florida has played pretty well. A lot of people question Florida's ability to score, but they're getting the job done. You might say, well, they had an easy path. I don't know. I don't know if it's an easy path. You got to go out and you got to lace them up, and you got to play. You got to defend. You got to rebound. And Florida did all those things in their win over Florida Gulf Coast. Now, we've got Wichita State, the new Cinderella team, the team that everybody's looking at and watching. And I love the halftime speech by Coach Marshall. He said, we got to get out there and we got to want it more. We got to want to go to Atlanta more. We got to play angry. And they came out in that second half, and they built up a 20-point lead. As I told you, it was 56-36 with 10 minutes and 44 seconds left when Anthony Early went down. And, folks, Wichita State, with 7.5 minutes left, basically, is still on 56. And Ohio State, that modest Buckeyes, have pushed this thing to 56-43 and have played more aggressive, have been able to get to the basket offensively, done a great job of getting to the basket offensively. I think Deshaun Thomas is at the line right now trying to close this thing in to possibly an 11-point lead by Wichita State. Shocking, guys. This injury, and you know, that's the thing as a coach, player, as a fan, little things like that cause a game's momentum to change. I don't know that there was enough time for Wichita State to get nervous that, oh, what are we going to do without Anthony out early out there, because they had a 20-point lead, but it gave Florida, or excuse me, it gave Ohio State some enthusiasm to jump back in there, and they did a great job. And I just saw, if you're watching the game and listening to the show, I just saw a run out by Wichita State. It's 56-45. It's an 11-point game. Wichita State just did a run out on full court pressure and didn't hit the layup. They did get fouled, but folks, it should have been an and one. So, you know, we're at 7 minutes and 39 seconds, and Wichita State has not scored. So we'll keep you abreast of what's going on with the Wichita State-Ohio State game. It's a close one. It's going down the wire. As you probably know, Syracuse has punched their ticket to Atlanta. What a great win over Marquette. You know, the fatigue of the Sweet 16 and the first two rounds of the tournament are starting to settle in, and the fact that Syracuse plays a stifling 2-3 zone defense, as good as it can be played, especially by this team right now at this time in the season, 55-39 win over Marquette. Can you believe that? Marquette, 39 points? Wow. But Syracuse has punched their ticket to Atlanta, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on. Well, our special edition for the NCAA tournament, Sweet 16 weekend, will continue. We're going to go about an hour tonight or so, and we're going to be on again Sunday. We'll be on Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 Central Time, and this is a special edition, special NCAA Sweet 16 Hoops edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Syracuse. We'll also talk about the hiring of Steve Alford, and we'll talk about how this Wichita State-Ohio State game's going. Wichita State just scored and I think is going to the line. So we'll be back, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Do you have a...
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show special edition Sweet 16. It's Saturday evening, and you're with Coach Ken Schulteis, Coach K, on the Coach K and Joe Show. If you want to call in, we will take some calls. You can call 773-897-6325. Again, that's 773-897-6325. And we will take some calls. If you can't get through right away, hang tough or try to call back, and we'll see what we can do. Otherwise, you can text me. You can text Coach K on the Coach K and Joe Show at 812-480-9449. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to text me at 812-480-9449. Big news coming up. Wichita State has increased their lead now 60-46 over Ohio State with 6 minutes and 30 seconds left. From a coaching standpoint, it looks like they have been able to withhold a run by Ohio State after Anthony Early was injured at the 10-minute and 44-second mark. It was 56-36 at the time, and Wichita State did not score until 7 minutes and 35 seconds left on the clock as they go to a timeout, but they have increased their lead. Wichita State has now 60 points. Big news today in the college basketball coaching world, and it is, if you're an Indiana Hoosier fan, if you're a fan of Indiana high school basketball, if you're just an Indiana native, and even in the Midwest, Steve Alford, if you have not heard yet, Steve Alford has been named the head coach at UCLA. And I paused just for a second there, so you could scratch your head and say, you're serious. And yes, we are serious. And I think I've got my cohort, Joe Milligan, coming in, so I'm going to pull him in on the show. Joe? Well,
Hello.
Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, Coach K.
Yeah, what's up?
I was just getting ready to comment to our listeners. Steve Alford is the new head coach at UCLA, and if you're an Indiana basketball fan or just a native to Indiana, you know, that's big news. Currently was the head coach at New Mexico, a 10-year contract. I was going to talk a little bit about Coach Alford, but I paused just for a little bit, Joe, so people could scratch their head and say, UCLA, Steve Alford, teams are usually one and done in the tournament. UCLA, not real patient with head coaches, even when they get to the Final Four numerous times. And I think it threw a lot of people for a loop that UCLA would reach out and pick Steve Alford. Of course, we're hearing that he was not their first choice, but still they reached out, picked Steve Alford, signed him to a 7-year contract for $2.6 million a year.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like the greatest move by Steve because, you know, if a coach can go to the Final Four that many times and they're not happy, I mean, are you going to be able to – what more are you going to be able to do, you know? And kind of – I don't know. I thought they'd have a lot of trouble. When I heard they fired their coach, I thought they would have a lot of trouble finding anyone that would catch it. So I was shocked.
I really was surprised with the choice. I understand where Coach Alford's coming from. He left – If you look at his track record, and folks, if you're a Steve Alford fan, please understand. I'm just giving you some background, and he was a tremendous basketball player in high school and for IU, and he's done a great job coaching. His overall record is 463-235. But what I'm seeing here is he was at Iowa in the Big Ten, and you know we had some of the fiasco with a player transferring from IU and to Iowa, and he had some success at Iowa, and then they didn't make the tournament, and he flew the coop from Iowa after about 6 or 7 years and went to New Mexico. And he goes to New Mexico, and he's there about 6 years. He's in the tournament a few times. I think he has three wins overall at New Mexico, signs a 10-year contract extension a couple of years ago that would take him into 2020. And I know the big thing today is sign these coaches to long-term contracts for recruiting purposes, but I think the signal to the players is that you plan on being there too. And then boom, within a week and a half, 2 weeks of being out of the tournament, he's gone to UCLA. And we'll talk a little bit more about the buyout, that, you know, maybe some of the reasons for moving so quickly, but whatever it was. But still, to me, I'm scratching my head a little bit about it. It's, you know, Joe, it looks like we're talking about a guy that has probably five or six total wins in the NCAA tournament in a 15-year, 16-year coaching career on the Division I level. Somewhere in that number of years, I don't have the exact number of years, and listeners can text me at 812-480-9449 if they want. But Joe, I mean, we're talking about a place that after Johnny Wooden leaves, Barto, Cunningham, Larry Brown, Farmer, Walt Hazard, Herrick, Lavin, Howland. Howland goes to the Final Four three times. Wins the conference championship this year. And they get on him because he's a little aloof. Well, if anybody knows much about Steve Alford, the hair looks good, the smile looks great. He knows all the words to say in front of the camera, but he's considered private and aloof at times. So, Joe, I mean, is there a rhyme or reason to this, or are they just looking for a face and a name to use for a little bit?
I'd be afraid it'd be a face and a name to use for a little bit because, oh, it's bad. Ohio State had a chance to cut it to single digits, missed the free throw.
Yeah, this is a great game. I'm watching it in the studio here, 60-50. Timeout, Wichita State still leads it with 4 minutes and 23 seconds left, but they've got it down to 10. And Joe, just to jump tracks a little bit, Anthony Early goes down at the 10:44 mark, and it's a 20-point lead, and he goes out of the game, and it just seemed to kind of give a little extra energy and some lanes to the basket for Ohio State, and they've cut what looked like an insurmountable 20-point lead to 10. And it's very, very doable for Ohio State. They've got the shooters and they've got the inside presence to win this game. But back to Alford, can he, you know, people are saying, well, he's got contacts in California that's going to help him to recruit and bring players in. I don't think the problem at UCLA was bringing players in. Do you?
No, they had a big time recruit class last season, didn't they? I mean, I don't see that being a problem. And UCLA, I mean, just in itself, I mean, it's a big name and, you know, it's one of those blue bloods that they're going to be able to draw kids to it. So, I mean, I don't think the coach is that important as far as connections go. I think if you're UCLA's coach, I mean, you know, I think that you're going to be able to bring in some really good players.
Yeah, and you know they've had attendance problems. You know, they had some attendance problems at Iowa when Alford was there. I'm sure New Mexico was packed, but – you know, there's so many little things that go into the UCLA job. Seth Davis says on a tweet today that there's a lot of pressure at New Mexico because they're a college town. What's he talking about? What about the pressure? What about the pressure at UCLA and Ohio State just got an offensive rebound and put it in? They're down 8 now, with about 4 minutes left in the game and there's a timeout. But what about the pressure at UCLA? I mean, are you telling me that the basketball pressure at New Mexico is greater than it is at UCLA? Come on, Seth. You got to be kidding me. I mean, there's no way that you're going to tell me that New Mexico is tougher on their coaches and their teams in basketball than UCLA. Just don't see it. Don't see it at all. Well, the timeout's going on right now. Wichita State still clinging to an 8-point lead, 60-52, and the momentum has changed. Joe, you played a lot of athletics and seen a lot of athletics since you've been out. Momentum is huge, and it has certainly changed here in this game.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I basically was ready to pencil Wichita State in a few minutes ago, and now all of a sudden, you know, it's not looking good. And, you know, sometimes teams get to playing. I always told my wife that if I was ever a head coach of any sport, that she would probably never be able to sit in the stands because I would always want my teams to play to win and ball and 100% all the time. And it seems like some of these teams get in these situations and they start just trying to hold on. you know, they lose their aggressiveness. They start playing not to lose, but instead of winning. And you know, I've seen it too much, and I just scratch my head sometimes at this. And you know, I've seen it happen. Hey, I've seen it happen with Tom Crean. I've seen it happen with Matt Painter. I mean, it's not just a, you know, a single coach does it. Just, I don't know if they get a big enough lead sometimes, and they think, let's just try to hold on. You know, I don't know. Now, back
yeah,
in the day,
and Wichita State just turned the ball over on the out of bounds underneath UCLA's basket, or excuse me, Ohio State's basket. I'm sorry, Ohio State missed a layup opportunity, and now they fouled Wichita State. So it looks like Wichita State's going to go to the line. The turnover was on the inbounds pass, and they said that the player who had thrown the ball in had not crossed the line and established himself back into the playing floor when the ball was passed back to him. I don't know how many times I've seen that called, but I'll tell you what, I think I could count it on a fingerless hand. So big call, but Ohio State could not take advantage of it. It's still an 8-point game, and it could have been six. Syracuse gets a big win over Marquette. I'm sure our listeners and those that will pick us up on the podcast, it's a great win for Coach Boeheim. It's been 10 years, about 10 years since he's been to the Final Four, and the Cues, the Orange Men, they've went ahead and stamped their ticket, and they're headed to Atlanta. Joe, swarming, strong, just great defense on the part of Syracuse. You know, Marquette could not score. Syracuse is so long, so quick, playing that zone so well at the right time of the year. It is amazing what Syracuse did in the Sweet 16 this weekend, taking out Indiana and then Marquette.
Well, you know, a lot of people think zone, they think lazy. And, you know, I was watching the Syracuse-Marquette game with my father-in-law, who was a high school coach, and I just told him, I said, if you had to run a zone, wouldn't you take a videotape of the Syracuse team and show how to play it aggressively? You know, I mean, it's not just sitting in an area, you know, oh, no one's in my area. No, if someone gets the ball, you know, on the perimeter, they're jumping on them right away, you know, and it's just a very aggressive zone, and it's something that, you know, people that want to play zone, you know, I might like for Matt Painter to take a look at that. he's very
you know what's interesting about that zone, and in my time I played zone and man, and the best zones move like a man-to-man. The best zones have man-to-man tendencies. The best zones point the shooter. The best zones pull up the ball handler. But Syracuse just does a great job of standing up the ball handler or standing up the guy with the ball, and then they allow help to come in and look to slap it away, knock it away, or block the shot. And it's just such a great team defense, and the way they play it, everybody thinks there's a hole opened across the court or down low, and they try to make that pass in between the Syracuse players, and they've got such long arms, and they're so conditioned to react through all the repetitions in practice. They're so conditioned to react that they've got those hands in there, and there's no hole. There's no hole to get that ball in, and they take care of business on the boards, Joe. They don't allow people to get easy opportunities on the offensive rebound. Wichita State just hit the first of a two-shot or a one-and-one double bonus. It was two shots. It's 61-52, and they have a chance to kick it back up, and then back up to 10 against Ohio State with 3:55 left. So what a remarkable job for Syracuse. A lot of people had given them a lot of respect early in the year, and then they kind of dropped out of favor with the pollsters and the fans and almost became forgotten behind Louisville. Ohio State just hit a 3-point shot. This game is getting to nut cutting time. 3:35 left, and it's 62-55. And they were left for kind of the also ran coming out of the Big East behind Louisville. And, you know, they beat Louisville early, and then Louisville beat them, and then Louisville won the tournament. But Syracuse is hitting on all cylinders, and they are going to be a tough, tough team to beat in Atlanta.
Well, you know, they made the Yogi and Jordan Hull's backcourt look like midgets. I didn't realize how big they were. to watching them during the game. I mean, they got a they're just really long, and they just like I said, if you want to play a zone, I mean, you know, I remember when about a month ago when Reese's sixth grade team was running a zone and it was very lazy. I thought, God, only there was a way to show them how to play it. And I honestly think the Syracuse tape might be something to do. So you know, Coach K, if we're having an EBA team this year, you need to be videotaping that.
I that's one thing I don't have to worry about is because I know how hard you have to work in a zone if you're going to be successful. It's 62:57, folks. 62:57, 3 minutes and 13 seconds left. And with 10 minutes and 44 seconds in the game, Anthony Early went down. It was 56-36. It's now 62:57, Wichita State with the lead in the ball, but plenty of time left. If you didn't hear, the University of Evansville Purple Aces under Coach Marty Simmons, they were in the Final Four of the CBI College Basketball Invitational.com Classic, I believe it's called. It was one of the lower tournaments that were being run. If you didn't make the NCAA, if you didn't make the NIT, if you didn't make the College Insider, there was this the CBI.com, I believe it's called. Aces finished at 21-15. They went down to East Carolina at East Carolina, 81-58. The Aces finished the season at 21-15. And Joe, every year, Marty Simmons, and we know Marty, and I've spent a lot of time around Marty. Every year, his teams get a little bit better. They get a little bit better. They've got the new Ford Center Arena to play in. He goes over the 20-win mark this year at 21-15. Colt Ryan sets the all-time University of Evansville scoring record. He surpassed Larry Humes, who held the record for many years. I got to tell you something, though, Joe, and may get your comment on this. Colt Ryan did it in 4 years with the three-point shot. Larry Humes had held it for all these years since the probably late 60s, early 70s. He had held it through all that time. He played only 3 years and in the no three-point era. Pretty phenomenal. I give Colt all the credit in the world, but, man, it's tough not to look at that and say, you know, on paper, phenomenal what Larry Humes did in his short time at U of E, 3 years, held that record for that long and without the three-point shot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's down to 3 points right now. I was watching the game. But yeah.
you got to understand, we're in our studios and we're watching the game. 62-59. Wichita State is trying to hold on to this thing. They have not – oh, a big three. Wichita State just hit a big three, 65-59, 216. But do you look at that, Joe, and do you question whether – do you asterisk that scoring record? Do you mention that one was done in the non-three-point era and the other was done in the three-point era? I mean, how do you look at that? How do you note that going forward when somebody does it in 3 years – with no three-pointer versus 4 years with the three-point shot?
Yeah, you may want to do that. I mean, you know, being a Purdue fan, I've seen some films of Rick Mount, and if he had the three-pointer, I know he'd have a heck of a lot more points than he actually ended up with. And, you know, it's just you know, the people in the modern day, you know, era here, you know, they've had the three-point line. And, you know, people like Rick Mount and I'm sure Larry Humes and all, and I'm sure from 20 feet they could probably have hit a lot of buckets there and got an extra point added to their tally. So, yeah, I think an asterisk by would work, should be possibly done in a situation like that, especially when it was done in 3 years. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it is. Hey, I just got a text, Joe, from Mike is his name. And he says, are you as sick of Duke continuing to run in the tournament as I am?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hey, Mike, I'll tell you what. Coach K is a great coach, and the other Coach K is a great coach, too, and he's done phenomenal. But I got to be honest with you. I get a little bit tired of seeing the Duke Blue Devils keep moving forward. It just seems like when I watch their games, calls go their way. But they're there. They're there again. And I heard a stat today that if Coach Krzyzewski wins and punches that ticket to Atlanta, that will be the 12th Final Four appearance for him as a coach, and that will tie John Wooden, the great UCLA coach. And Joe, what do you think about that? The Duke Blue Devils and Coach Krzyzewski.
Well, I get tired of him. So, but, you know, you got to respect what he does. You know, he's got good kids and, you know, we don't hear about the handlers and et cetera in World Wide West or anything when it comes to him. So you've got to respect him for what he's done. I mean, I just talking to my kids today, I mean, they were talking about how just it's like, I think they were under the impression it's been a big time program for forever, you know, and I had to tell them, you know, it was good under other coaches, but it wasn't anywhere near what it is now under you know, Coach K.
Yeah, I agree. Wichita State just made a great move to the basket, went up over three guys, penetration move, and hit the shot. It is 67. I was trying to Van Vliet took it up, and 67-61 with 51 seconds left. Kraft went down, and I don't know what's going on with Kraft's three-point shot, but I've seen the backside angle of him two or three times on shots. It looks ugly tonight. It looks like he's really pushing that with his shooting hand more than he did the other night when he hit that big three. But 51 seconds left, and that place is going crazy, and Wichita State is holding on to this thing 68-61. Folks, there's a lot of time left. If you're looking at possessions, this free throw doesn't really matter that much in possessions. But if he hits that, it's 69-61, so we've got an 8-point lead, three possessions, but not three full possessions. So if Ohio State can muster some points here, they're right in it. But what a game, Joe.
Yeah,
Ohio State just scored and called a timeout, 69-63. So we have Michigan going tomorrow, and I know our buddy Josh Houchen is pretty darn excited about it. And you know, I got to throw him a bone. I got to give him credit. They clawed their way back. They won that basketball game. But if you're saying Coach K, you've been on Michigan all year. Look, they're one game away from Atlanta, the Final Four. I know they are. Joe knows they are. We know they are. The Coach K and Joe Show know that. But if you look at the shots that Trey Burke hit, all I'm saying is if you go back and listen to previous shows or posts I put on our Facebook page, Coach K and Joe Show, his shots were 30-footers. They weren't trying to get to the basket. They weren't trying to create a two-man game. They weren't trying to find. So, I mean, he's just coming out, and he's just throwing that thing up. I've seen him do it in games at Ohio State. He couldn't hit him. Against him, yet, couldn't hit him. In the first half, he did nothing. Now, I admit, he hit him, and they won the basketball game. I don't know how they won the basketball game. I was shocked at how I was just shocked at how that game played out the last couple minutes. But Michigan did what they had to do. Kansas, I don't know what that – Joe, what was the last play that Kansas ran? What was that?
Well, I thought the guy could have shot a layup. Might have been a little off at a bad angle. But, you know, kicking it out was – I didn't think was the greatest of ideas. And I don't know why he just didn't take it hard to the basket. He had the guy beat. And he didn't do it. And, you know, I'm a Big Ten guy, so I was cheering for Michigan, so I was happy he did it, but I scratched my head at why he did it, and I guess he'll have to watch that over and over and over again now and wonder what's going on. Now, you know, in my front room, I have some Indiana State grads who've been going crazy. Will this be the first NBC team to make the Final Four since Indiana State if they do it?
You know, I can't be certain, but I got to believe they may be. I can't think of another one that did. They're going to make it. I think they're going to make it. It is only two possessions with 38 seconds left. They have the basketball. Wichita State, I think it's Wichita State's ball, another timeout, but it is two possessions. But I just go back, and I think they probably will be. I just go back to Bill Self being just one of the best coaches in the country, the best at designing things, a Kansas program that has been to the pinnacle more than once, more than twice, more than five times, and to have that much time left and to run the play, there wasn't a play ran. The guy came down and he penetrated and he went too wide and he didn't feel like he had a good look and he kicked it out to a guy that really wasn't ready for the basketball. And again, that's the way it goes. You survive and you go on, and Michigan did that. So Josh Houchin and all you Michigan fans, I'll give you your due, but you got one more to get to Atlanta, and if you get that one, then I'm going to be eating a lot of crow, maize and blue crow. But still, we got to see what happens. 69-63, listeners, I don't know if you're by a TV or listening some other way. We're internet radio, so you could have just your regular radio on. Wichita State 69-63 over Ohio State with 38 seconds to play. And, Joe, I don't know what to say about this. You got Duke and Louisville going tomorrow. You got Michigan and Florida going tomorrow. Florida looked darn good against Florida Gulf Coast after the first 7 or 8 minutes of the game. Michigan found a way to win again. Louisville, my gosh, if it isn't Siva, it's Smith. If it isn't Smith, it's Siva. Smith pours in 31 points in their dominating win. And then Duke with Kelly and Plumlee and that team, breakaway for Wichita State. He missed the layup. Ohio State's got it with 28 seconds. They missed a wide-open layup.
Oh, wow.
Oh, missed a three. Ohio State got the rebound. This thing is getting – oh, Wichita State blocks it away. And they're going to pull it out, and that's about what you need to do, and this game looks like if he hits his free throw – it's going to be Wichita State to the Final Four. Missouri Valley fans, you have got to be celebrating tonight. I saw Wichita State several times this year. I did not think this team was capable of getting to the NCAA tournament. Honestly, I did not. I did not think they would move very far into the NCAA tournament. But what was so interesting, I said this earlier in the hour, Joe, Coach Marshall at halftime, he's talking to those players about who wants this game more. You got to believe this is your game. Get out there and play angry. And I think that Wichita State has done that. He missed the free throw. It's still a two-possession game with 11 seconds left. But when Anthony Early went down, it looked like Ohio State was going to mount an improbable comeback, and they certainly have gotten to the point where they have tried. They've missed a couple shots where they could have pulled this game to one possession and even 2 points. Wichita State hits that free throw, and I think about that's about all she wrote. But Wichita State is going to punch their ticket. Well, I don't know.
Coach K, got a question, though, for you. The Big Ten is supposed to be the most dominant, strong conference in America this year and only has one more shot to make the Final Four.
I think a lot of people who are anti-Big Ten people and a lot of analysts will play that card. But you know, look at the overall Big Ten teams that were in it. It wasn't that they didn't get anywhere. You've got Ohio State in the Sweet 16. You had Michigan State in the Sweet 16. You had Indiana in the Sweet 16. So teams from the Big Ten, Michigan, Sweet 16. I mean, you got teams that are right in there and going into the Sweet 16 round. When you get into the Sweet 16 round, you've accomplished something in the tournament. So I think overall they've done a nice job. The Big East, who everybody likes to kind of rip on, the Big East teams, you know, overrated conference, look at what their situation is. Louisville may have a chance to punch their ticket to the dance. Syracuse already has. It looks like Wichita State is going to go in, and Duke. You know, I mean, you could have a Big Ten team in the Final Four, and if you have a Big Ten team in the Final Four, then I think your conference has represented itself well. 70-66, Wichita State. They've got the ball out with 6.8 seconds left on the clock, and they get this in and run a little time off. They've got a run out. He's going to get a breakaway layup. He tried to dunk it. I don't believe he tried to dunk it, but he did. He needs to hit a free throw. But I think his game's over, and Wichita State's going to take it in. Let's talk a little bit about Michigan and Florida. Billy Donovan, a former Patino player, a disciple as a coach, done a tremendous job at Florida, a couple national titles, went through a little bit of a roller coaster the last few years. Coming into this tournament, the SEC was one of the most maligned conferences that there was. Absolutely one of the most maligned conferences that there was. And Billy Donovan's team was criticized for not being able to shoot the ball well. They didn't handle it offensively. Just didn't do a lot of things well. And the buzzer just sounded. Wichita State, Cinderella team, improbable run continues. They are going to Atlanta. That is phenomenal for Coach Marshall and Wichita State, the Missouri Valley Conference. I mean, that's pretty exciting. They are going to Atlanta, so that's pretty neat. I'll tell you what, we'll talk a little bit. I want to check a couple things. We'll talk a little bit about Michigan and Florida before we end up our hour tonight. Let's go to break, and we'll be back. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Tomorrow, after the game, I, Jackie Moon, will wrestle a bear.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is Coach K hosting a special Hoops Sweet 16 edition of the Coach K and Joe Show here on Saturday evening. This will go into podcast immediately following the show. We've got about 16 minutes to go in our hour session, and we'll be on tomorrow as well at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central on a Sunday special edition, Sweet 16 Hoops edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Before we went to break, Wichita State just did the improbable. Wichita State just beat another Big Ten team, Ohio State, probably one of the premier coaches in the country in Thad Matta. Greg Marshall and his Wichita State Shockers just shocked the basketball world. And although people will say they're not shocked by it, let me tell you something. Yeah, they are. People say, oh, yeah, I picked them to go to the Final Four. Oh, yeah, they're in my pool. I picked them. I knew they would. No, you didn't. And if you did, you were in a drunken stupor when you did it, or you were flipping coins. Or you let your five-year-old point to a team, or you let your dog pee on the teams. But you didn't pick them. You know, I've got a tremendous respect for the Missouri Valley Conference. You know, in Indiana, you've got the University of Evansville that's part of the Missouri Valley Conference. And so we get an opportunity, especially in the southern part of the state, to see Creighton play to see Wichita State play. If you're from Terre Haute, you've got Indiana State, member of the Missouri Valley Conference. So as much as we get to see Wichita State play the Shockers, we're shocked. I'm shocked. I didn't even have them getting in the tournament. I questioned whether they'd get in the tournament. And then they got in the tournament, and they have played phenomenal, and they've played, as Coach Marshall said, play angry. Play angry. And so, I just got a text here from Chris, and he says, Coach K, what about your Hoosiers being out and the Shockers being in? Well, yeah, it's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting, especially if you're from Wichita State or for Wichita State. It's pretty exciting. Needs to be celebrated in the basketball world what's going on and what's going to happen in Atlanta for the Final Four, with Wichita State being one of those four teams. Florida Gulf Coast wasn't far away from possibly being one of those teams. But Chris, I got to say, I didn't have IU going to the Final Four. Were they capable? Yeah, they were capable. But I didn't have them going to the Final Four. But I will tell you this, no one was more impressed with how they acted, those players acted, could be more impressed with anyone else than how those IU players acted in the press conference afterwards. Victor Oladipo, Cody Zeller, very, very proud of how they handled an emotional defeat when a ill-advised, ill-timed question from the media was asked about whether it was their last game at Indiana. I just thought that was unnecessary, and the timing was terrible. But what a game. What a ticket to punch to go to Atlanta, Wichita State. The Shockers have shocked the basketball world. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Michigan and Florida coming up. Billy Donovan has just done a great job of getting this team to this point and a chance to go to the Final Four. People, as I said early, were criticizing the SEC. At the end of the regular season, I heard a lot of analysts, a lot of prognosticators, from Doug Gottlieb to Seth Davis to whoever else, saying this Florida team is limping itself in. It just doesn't have what it takes this year. They weren't even the best team in the SEC at the end of the year. I heard that more than once. They're not even the best team in the SEC. And then the run they've put on has been outstanding. And they're going to give Michigan everything they want. First of all, they will be strong in the post. They will give them struggles defensively on the perimeter. And Michigan will have to be ready to play well and shoot the ball. They've got to hope that Mitch McGarry gives them the kind of basketball that he gave them against Kansas. They've got to hope that they get that kind of an effort from McGarry. 25 points. I think he had 13 or 14 boards. Most of that was done in the first half, but they had to have every bit of that. They had to have every bit of that just to stay alive. Just to stay alive for the second half. And, of course, we saw the show that what many people say is a college player of the year, Trey Burke, put on down the stretch. Just hit some huge, huge, deep, space deep, like outer space deep threes. Ended up with 23 points on 9 of 21 shooting to put Michigan in that final eight game against Florida. But I tell you what, Florida will give them everything they want, and I don't have somebody to pick. I'm not sure who I would pick in that game yet. I've got to look and make sure everybody's healthy and everybody's ready to go. And then on the other side, you've got Louisville and Duke, two-storied programs, two of the most successful coaches. There's just two of the most successful coaches in college basketball, in Rick Pitino and Mike Krzyzewski. And Louisville did a great job in controlling most of the game and beating Oregon. And how about Dana Altman? You know, some of you may not know. Some of our listeners may not know, but Oregon head coach Dana Altman was at Creighton. And before Wichita State was shocking the college basketball world, Dana Altman's Creighton Blue Jays were doing similar things. So phenomenal. It's just great to see what the NBC is doing. But Oregon played a great game. I think they surprised a lot of people coming out of the pack and just played well in the tournament and ran into probably the best team in the tournament at this time. And folks, I'm saying they're the best team in the tournament because they've got a well-tested veteran coach. They've got a veteran ball club. Siva and Smith are as good when they are playing basketball the way they're capable of playing basketball. They are the best tandem out there in college basketball. And, you know, I tell you what I really enjoy the most, though, when I'm watching Louisville play, watching Coach Pitino coach every possession. And he has to, because Steven Smith will drive you crazy as a coach if you just sit back. You have to be up, and he has to be coaching them at all times. And I love when Pitino's, because that's the way I believe you coach. I believe you coach every possession because you ask your players to play every possession. You don't take a break on any possessions. You don't take a break on defense when you're playing a zone. I remember a high school coach one time said, when I was a high school player, he said, don't take a break on offense. If you're going to take a break on the other end when we're in the zone on defense. Oh, wow. He obviously never spent any time with Coach Boeheim and never looked at the zone defense of Syracuse. You know, Coach Pitino's pretty good at that zone play, too. He likes to double out of it, double the corners. He'll double up top, depending on 2-3, 3-2. He'll run a guy out of the middle and double. I know that because ran similar defenses. And learned a lot of it from watching his teams and talking with him and seeing him at clinics. So that's going to be a good game. Duke and Louisville. I mean, Duke has the big boys, Plumlee, Kelly. Kelly, I did notice, maybe you noticed, he looks like he's limping. You know, he had the bad knee. Looks like he's limping a little bit. Looks like he's struggling on that a little bit. He wasn't when he first got back. But, you know, that wear and tear, when that injury isn't totally healed, that's tough on you. But they've got Kelly. They've got Plumlee, and he is strong. 14 points last night, Kelly 9. They've got a good player in Curry. Boy, can he shoot it. Curry can shoot it, 29 points. Now, he'll miss some, but he hits them too. I think he had 6 threes maybe early in that game. So that's going to be a great matchup. Two great coaches, two aggressive styles of basketball, even though Duke will be a little bit more controlling in the half court. They'll be a little bit more controlling in the half court. And Louisville will just come at you and keep coming at you. And they'll extend the floor defensively on you. And then they'll get you at the half court. And then they'll get you at three-quarters court. And then they'll extend on the full court again. They're just going to keep coming at you. But I can promise you this. I can promise you this. If you've watched Louisville play the last couple years, the last few years, where Siva and Smith are concerned, the Louisville guards, they will take shots, ill-advised. They will make passes, ill-advised. They will do those things, and they will give you an opportunity to get back in the game. I used to tell my players this. I tell my kids this. I tell young coaches I talk to, young players, I mean, the fact, it's a fact. Basketball is a game of runs. You know, momentum changes. Maybe more than any other sport. You get it in tennis as they move into the different sets. But in basketball, you can almost guarantee that there will be momentum changes in the games, first half and the second half. And if you can get your players to stay focused, mentally, and stay prepared to do the things they know how to do, get the timeout when you need it, hit the free throws when you have the opportunity, if you can get hold serve once in a while defensively, if you can do those things, when those runs happen, you will have an opportunity to get back in that game. Ohio State, with 10 minutes and 44 seconds left in the game, they were down 20 points against Wichita State. Anthony Early goes down, and before you know it, Wichita State goes many minutes without scoring, and it's down to 10, then it's down to 8, then it's down to 6, and Ohio State had the ball with Wichita State had a 4 or 5 point lead. Ohio State had the ball, still had an opportunity to get themselves back within one possession, possibly tie up the game. It's a game of runs. And so when you're playing Louisville, and there are a lot of Cardinal fans out there, believe me, when you're playing Louisville, you live and die with them on those runs. But if you're playing them, you just have to stay focused for that opportunity. For that opportunity when that run comes. And it will come. I can promise you that. It will come. So we've got two teams who have punched their ticket as we get ready to close the show. We've got about we've got about 5 minutes remaining in the show. Actually, we've got about 3 minutes remaining in the show. We've got Wichita State. The Shockers have shocked the world. They punched their ticket, and they're heading to Atlanta. Boy, are there going to be some black and gold Shocker fans down there, and a lot of people that just love basketball that will be there for that. And you've got Coach Boeheim and the Syracuse Orangemen. It's been 10 years since they've been back. Final Four championship in 2003, I believe. Lost in 87 to IU. Of course, that was a great year for Coach Knight. Keith Smart hits the shot. Two teams have punched their ticket. And we've got two teams to go. We've got Duke and Louisville going at it, two storied programs. We've got Michigan and Florida going at it. Florida has become a storied program under Billy Donovan. Michigan has returned to some national prominence under John Beilein. Michigan has a tremendous perimeter game and has a young man in Mitch McGarry. I think he's out of Indiana, actually, an Indiana high school player. Mitch McGarry, who has played well for them at critical times, at least a half before adjustments are made. And then it's going to be up to Michigan to hit those perimeter shots. And the thing that scares me about him and Josh Houchin, I'm sorry, they just pushed that shot further out instead of trying to find a way to put a two-man game together. It may come, but I don't think it's going to come. They're going to push that shot out. And if Trey Burke hits him like he did the other night, they may move on to Atlanta. Otherwise, Florida's going to give them fits defensively. But if Michigan's hitting, they'll punch that ticket. Duke-Louisville, I think on paper, Louisville is probably the team. But a lot of people who know basketball are probably thinking, well, Coach K's got something else. Remember, if he makes this Final Four, it will be his 12th Final Four. 12th Final Four. He will tie John Wooden with the most Final Four appearances. Obviously, John Wooden won 10 of those, 10 of those championships. And we end it that way. We end the show talking about UCLA and John Wooden, and guess who's out there? Hoosier native? Steve Alford. Steve Alford's taken over at UCLA. 7 years, $2.6 million a year. I used to call Steve the golden boy. Everything he touched turned to gold, and it still does. Now, whether it's good enough in Westwood, if it's good enough in Westwood, I don't know. He has certainly has the hair and the smile, at least in the short term, but can he put the number of wins on the board? And, folks, it isn't just how much you win in the regular season. It's how much you win in the NCAA tournament. Remember, John Wooden did it 10 times. Ben Howland went to the Final Four. Folks, Ben Howland went to the Final Four 3 times. Won the conference championship this year, and they ran him out. They ran him out. So we'll see what happens. Brad Stevens says he's staying at Butler. Is that a good move or not? We'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow night on the show. Remember, we'll have a special edition, Sweet 16 edition, to see the next two teams that punch their ticket to Atlanta. It'll start at 6 Eastern time, 5 Central. Brad Stevens says he's staying at Butler. I love what Brad Stevens does as a coach. I love what Butler's become. They're entering into a big new conference in the Big East. Michael Lewis, of course, who played for me at Jasper High School as an assistant coach there. Do they have enough? Do they have enough to recruit the kind of players they're going to need to play in that conference, that new Big East conference, with Georgetown and the likes? One of their premier assistants, Matt Graves, former White River Valley standout, Indiana High School player, Butler standout, he has taken the head coaching job at South Alabama. So he's going to head down to Mobile, and he's going to try to resurrect that program. This program hasn't been too bad, but he's going to try to resurrect it back to the point that they can get back in the NCAA tournament. A former player of mine in high school, Toby Madison, played for South Alabama. He's a former Indiana All-Star, played for South Alabama when they went to the NCAA tournament. So Matt Graves will try to take care of that. Matt, I remember Matt when I was a Washington Catholic pulling up to Switz City Gym in Switz City, Indiana, before they were White River Valley. He's about 10 years old, something like that. Him and his little brothers come up to us as we'd walk into the doors before the varsity games. And is your team ready? Can you guys beat us tonight? You good enough? You ready? I never forgot that. They had the little bird haircuts just like they do today. Matt Graves, congratulations and much success at South Alabama. We hope to have him on the show. We're going to end up the show on this special edition on Saturday evening of the Coach K and Joe Show. We will be going to podcast here, and some of you will pick us up on podcast. We appreciate it. We've had over 35,000 listeners on our shows when you total them all up. And where we started, what we thought, we appreciate everybody that tunes in to the show, both live and on podcast. And we have people from, obviously, Indiana. We have people from California. We have people from the East Coast. We have people from Europe, the Middle East, anywhere that people from Indiana or the Midwest or people that love basketball or college sports, baseball, football, whatever, have found us on the Internet and have talked to us. Remember, if you want to tweet, you can tweet us at Coach K and Joe Show. You can Facebook us at Coach K and Joe Show. And you can also text me, Coach K, at 812-480-9449. Thank you for listening to tonight's special edition, Sweet 16 Hoops edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And we're heading out. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. We will see you Sunday evening for a live broadcast, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Central. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Harmon Dental Care, Jasper Today, Idea Fusion Media, and the Willis Fence Company. Join us next Friday from 11 to 1 for the next show. Until then, visit www.jaspertodayonline.com or go to iTunes to listen to podcasts of past shows. See you next week.
Hi, this is Coach K, Ken Schulteis. If you're listening on podcast at our Coach K and Joe Show.com website or on the YouTube channel, we certainly appreciate it. You can catch us live Sunday, this Sunday, Sweet 16 edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. We will be live, and of course, we'll have the podcast as well. Thank you for supporting us and following the Coach K and Joe Show.